Same theme that we've been dealing with for the last several weeks, Acts chapter 4. If you're here for the first time, we have a sermon note card for you to follow along with us. And if you don't have one, just lift your hands and the ushers will be glad to assist you. Anybody don't have a note card, make sure you have that. Amen, amen. Trying to get my big Bible. I got the big Bible today, y'all. Amen. Amen. It's too big for this area. We're going to get there together. Amen. All right. Acts chapter 4, those that have found it, say, I've got it. Those still looking, say, give me a second. I hear you. Amen. As you find that passage, we are in a series entitled Eternal Lifestyle. Eternal Lifestyle. And the whole thrust of this series is to help each of us as believers to understand our responsibility and privilege in being light bearers. We are to be salt and light to this world, which means we actually have to live it. And on occasion, we have to say something. And we discovered in the process of learning about being an evangelist, which every single one of us is called to do, that a prerequisite of that is the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. That's a key factor in this. And this is why you got to pray before you do anything. Oftentimes, we make decisions and we do things, and then we try to ask the Lord to bless it. And so it's important that we saturate everything that we do with believing prayer. And that's where we are on today. I'm trying to give the mic opportunity to get that straight. How we doing up there? Get a thumbs up in the booth up there. We looking good. Can y'all hear me good right now? Praise the Lord. Acts chapter 4, beginning at verse 23. Listen as I read from the Christian Standard Bible. After they were released, they went to their own people and reported everything the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together to God and said, Master, you are the one who made the heaven, the earth, and the sea, and everything in them. You said through the Holy Spirit by the mouth of our father David, your servant, why do the Gentiles rage and the people plot futile things? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers assemble together against the Lord and against his Messiah. For in fact, in this city, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel assemble together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed to do whatever your hand and your will had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, consider their threats and grant that your servants may speak your word with boldness while you stretch out your hand for healing and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. When they had prayed, the place where they were assembled was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God boldly. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We're going to preach holy boldness, part three. I'm going to whisper a word of prayer, then we're going to watch a video that I pray will set the atmosphere for the word going forth. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, we love you right now. Thank you for the sufficiency of your word. Thank you for the example of Christ. And Father, how he stood against opposition in the face of danger to live a life of perfection. And Father, in doing so, he modeled before us what it means to be a witness. So right now, Lord, we're invoking your presence again in this place. Father, you've already shown yourself to be present through the ministry of music and mimes. And Father, we're just asking that you touch all of our hearts. Father, we're praying for breakthrough in this faith community. Father, not just for a show, but so that we can impact this greater community. So, Father, we want you to purge us, clean us up, refill us, empower us, guide, direct, protect for the work that you've already mapped out for us to do in your word. Help us, Lord God, at this very moment to be on one accord. Father, may the spirit of unity fill this place. In the name of Jesus, let everybody say amen. Amen. You may take your seats. Give your neighbor a high five as you take your seat. Let them know I'm sitting next to you, and we're about to have a blessed time on the day.
You are part of the fellowship of the unashamed. You have Holy Spirit power. You've leaped over the line of no return. You're a disciple of the one true King. You've made a decision. Don't look back, let up, or slow down. Your past is redeemed, your present makes sense, and your future is secure. You live by faith, trust His presence, and walk in patience. You labor by love and power and are lifted in prayer. Your pace is set, way is fast, and goal is heaven. Your road is narrow, way is rough, your mission is clear, and companions are few. Yet your God is reliable. You won't back down in sacrifice, hesitate from your adversaries, negotiate with your enemies, or work for popularity. You won't give up, won't let up, and can't shut up until you've stayed up, prayed up, and preached up the cause of Jesus Christ. You've been bought with a price, made new through the blood, and given great purpose. You are called the chosen, the few, kings and priests among men, set apart in, but not of this world. A light in the darkness, a voice calling out the remnant. You are the church.
Give God a hand of praise right there. Come on. We want some Holy Ghost excitement and enthusiasm as we deal with this message on today, because today's message is preparing us for another outreach this Wednesday night, and I will get more information on that. I'm getting a little feedback here. I don't make sure they don't hear that as well, but I like the volume. Keep that volume where it is. Amen. Our message moment at the top of your sermon note card says this: to do the work, let's rephrase that, to do the work we've never done before, we must seek God in a manner we've never sought Him before. To do the work that we've never done before, we must seek God in a manner we've never sought Him before. And this contains the essence of this series as well as this sermon, that we're called to do a work that we really are uncomfortable doing. We have an assignment that makes the average person, believer included, a little uncomfortable. All right. When it comes to going and reaching those who are lost, most of those assignments are filled by just a few individuals. Every single one of us was riveted as those little soccer boys and their coach were trapped in that cave in Thailand. And we watched daily as we prayed for their rescue. And it's amazing, they were incarcerated in that cave for over 2 weeks. And here is the most wonderful thing that I observed in the whole transcript of that story. Over 1,000 people, men and women trained, came on the scene for the purpose of rescuing those few boys. I need you to catch that. Over 1,000 individuals came on the scene for the sole purpose of rescuing those little boys. Well, why did they come? Because they were equipped to make a difference. Nobody showed up to rescue the boys without any insight and wisdom into how to rescue the boys. I need a witness up in here. So they showed up for the primary purpose of being a savior to those boys. To which I pose the question, as we have asked ourselves for the last several weeks, beloved, do you want to be bold? Oh, wow. My amen's going down a little bit right there. Do you want to be bold? Do you want to be the ones or the one that is called upon to be a part of rescuing those who are lost? Do you want to be in that number? Because see, that settles the issue right there. If you don't have a desire to want to be a part of the rescuing team, then you have missed your primary calling as a believer. Doesn't matter what you know, don't matter. Doesn't matter where you've been. You didn't have to go into seminary training. You don't have to go to SOL. If you have enough gospel to be saved, then you have enough gospel to be a witness. Preach, Pastor Brown. So I'll reiterate the question. Do you want to be bold? Let me answer the question for you. I want to be bold. I want to be a bold witness for the Lord. And remember, we talked 2 or 3 weeks ago, boldness is not arrogance, it's not pride, it's not being a Bible thumper, as I found out this past weekend. We're not going to beat folk up with the Bible, but boldness is understanding where your power source comes from and having the discernment to stand in the face of opposition to tell people that Jesus is risen. That's boldness. And when we stand together, when we're bonded together in a spirit of unity, watch this, we can be bold together. See, I've discovered, and you will discover eventually, this Christian journey is best lived out when you got some people that you can count on. Some people who you agree with, you're headed in the same direction, you're trying to reach the same goal, and that's where we get a little extra power for boldness. How many times have I gotten into a fight, Deacon Ward? But I had a little more confidence if I had some of my homies behind me. As a matter of fact, I had a little more bravado if I had a certain homeboy behind me. He fought, he fought for no reason at all. Just tell him to hit somebody. He's gonna hit folk. Go hit him. Bam! Just one of those guys. But if I had him behind me and a couple others, I was talking a whole lot of noise. You know why? Because there is confidence in community. And so with those guys behind me and beside me, there was nothing I couldn't do. There was no fight I couldn't win. There was no conversation I couldn't talk myself out of. Why? Because when you got community with you, it makes a difference. So when we get ready to go this Wednesday, and I reach my hand out, are you going to be there to grab my hand? When we go out this Wednesday and we're trying to reach at Everglade Park, reach these children for the Lord, when I reach out for you, are you going to be there? Because watch this. If I have you here and you here, when I open my mouth, I'll have a little boldness with my speech. Give God a hand of praise for boldness right there. Come on, saints. So this message, Holy Boldness Part 3, is on the heels of everything we've been talking about in Acts chapter 4 and even Acts chapter 3. Get ready to write. We see Peter's boldness on display. Peter's boldness on display. Peter and John had done some things and gotten some attention that warranted opposition. See, when you begin to take a step of faith towards fulfilling the calling God has on your life, you should anticipate opposition. Well, what did they do? Did they rob a bank? No. Did they hurt somebody? No. Did they cause a revolution negatively? No. What did Peter and John do? Get ready to write. They healed somebody in Jesus' name. They healed a lame man in Jesus' name. Wait a minute, Pastor Brown. You mean to tell me Peter and John experienced opposition because they helped somebody? Do you see how twisted the world can be? See, this, the world and these religious leaders were upset. Why? Because Peter and John would be taking some attention from them. So Peter and John healed a lame man who was laying at the gate called Beautiful. As a result of this healing, this miracle, they found themselves, get ready to write, confronted by religious leaders. That opens up chapter 4 and even parts of chapter 3. They get confronted by these religious leaders, this council, if you will. Let me park here for just a moment. We've mentioned several times that if the church local church is not experiencing opposition, that means we're not attempting to take any kingdom for the Lord. See, you don't experience opposition when you're doing business as usual. If all we're doing is gathering amongst ourselves, creating a country club environment, watch this, we will not have any opposition. Well, let me rephrase that. We may have some internal opposition. Amen. What color are we going to paint the wall? What color pews are we going to have? That's the kind of fighting we'll have internally. But when we begin to take the community for the Lord, you can anticipate being confronted by the enemy. Have you ever been confronted? Has there been a situation in your life when you took a stand for God and you experienced opposition from the world? I wish I could pass the mic, just see a few of you have had that experience. Because I can count many times I've lost so-called friends. I've had folks talk about me. I've had folks stop dealing with me. Not because I was seeking to hurt, but because I was seeking to help. So Peter and John, they heal this lame beggar in Acts chapter 3. The man gets his strength. He comes into the temple leaping and praising God. Everyone recognizes the miracle that has been done in their presence. Peter begins to preach. Boom, folks get saved. And then this religious council gathers themselves together and they begin to confront Peter and John and even the lame man. And they let him know, listen, whose power and by whose name have you done these miracles? If this man is walking and we can see he's walking, we recognize him as the one who was lame. How did you do it? And Peter began to preach. He began to teach. He began to speak with boldness. And the text says in chapter 4, verse 8, listen, Peter had so much boldness because he was filled by the Holy Spirit. And Peter began to preach and he began to declare with thus saith the Lord. And as the council clutched their pearls, they realized we got to do something with this dude. So they made an agreement, a pact. They said, listen, we're not going to do nothing to you right now. But we want to strictly warn you that you not preach or teach in the name of Jesus. That's our command. That's our warning. And this council has the authority to declare this warning before you. Third thing here, real important. They healed. They were confronted. And then they defend their faith. And they defend Christ. What I need for you to understand is this. This is important. What the religious council had established, when they declare to them, you cannot preach or teach in this name again. Watch this, y'all. That was a legally binding command. They actually had weight behind that command. And they knew it. Because when they let them go, it would be the reason that they would rearrest them and then ultimately persecute them greater. Here's what I want you to understand about this. You will at some point in your faith journey have to defend what you believe. I need a witness up in here. And so what's happening in the text is you have these men who are coming against Peter and John and the lame man, coming against the whole move of God. And they're letting them know you cannot preach Jesus. I got to park right there parenthetically. Do you realize that the same thing is taking place in 2018? But watch this. Oftentimes it's coming from inside the church. Oh, y'all ain't got no witnesses up in here. It ain't the world telling us not to go. It's the church. That's right. So this religious council, they say, don't you preach in the name of Jesus. If you preach in the name of Jesus, boy, we gonna. And Peter lets them know, listen, man, I'm not gonna argue with you. I ain't gonna fight with you. Your authority is clear. You do what you feel best. But as I walk out this door, I need for you all to know, I'm going to preach Jesus. Do what you got to do. Say what you got to say. I'm going to preach Jesus. Somebody say it with me. I'm going to preach Jesus. I like that. I'm going to preach Jesus. You get mad all you want to. You can come against me all you want to, but I'm going to preach Jesus. So they make their way back to their assembly. In verse 23, it said, after they were released, they went to their own people. I like that. And reported everything the chief priests and the elders had said to them. They went back and gave the report to the church. But I need for you to understand what's happening in the text here. See, Peter and John were not standing alone. There we go again with the reinforced community. They had a crew to go back to. And when they got back to their crew, they got back to their place, to their headquarters, they relayed the report of what they had just experienced. Look at the response of the people. When they heard this, they raised their voices together. Stop right there. Oh, church. Do you really want to be bold? I'm preaching short today. I'm just asking a few questions. Do you really want to be bold? I've already gone on record. I want to be bold. Not obnoxious, not rude, not intrusive. Not a Bible thumper, but I want to have a boldness to how I communicate my faith. We are not called to be ordinary, but to be bold. Boldness, get ready to write, boldness is contagious. It's contagious. Oh, it's contagious. When you're bold and you speak up, other people will receive encouragement. As a matter of fact, I'm convinced that if a few key folk in here were to really catch on fire for God, externally speaking, because I know you got it on the inside. My responsibility as the shepherd is to help you get what's inside outside. I need a witness up in here. See, I know you say we ain't talking about salvation. We're talking about us as a body collectively allowing the Holy Spirit to have his way in our lives. And understanding that when the Holy Spirit moves, it ain't gonna be quiet. Oh, I need a witness up in here. When the Holy Spirit moves, it ain't gonna be pretty all the time. Look at the text. Look at the text. It says, when they heard this, they remained silent and sat. No, let me try it again. When they heard this, verse 24, they sat down and considered. No. When they heard this, they raised their voices together. Let me help you. Let me help you something. Boldness is contagious. It catches on like a flame. Get ready to write. See, church folk, we have to know what to shout about. I'm coming down your block today. We have to know what to shout about. Yeah, see, we shout. I went to the Universal Circus the other day. We shout. Oh my God, I mean, it was unbelievable. That man came with a whistle and a bullhorn and folks started screaming and falling out and jumping over chairs. I'm like, wow, y'all doing this for an elephant? But let us go to a ball game. We know how to shout. Some of y'all have watched the game and when the game is over, you're hoarse because you've been shouting at the television for 2.5 hours. I watched the World Cup, some of the games in the World Cup. You have nations that have gathered who are screaming and waving and roaring. But in the church, we But in the church, we're contemplative, intelligent folk. And I ain't trying to make fun of you. I'm trying to expose you to what the Lord showed me years ago. That every now and then you gotta know what to shout about. You gotta know about the goodness of God. You gotta know that the Lord has saved your soul. You got to know that He is doing a work in your life, and that He is doing will be fulfilled. And if the person next to you don't wanna shout, you say, "Excuse me, but God has been too good for me to sit and watch and pontificate. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills whence cometh my help." My help comes from the Lord. Got to know what to shout about. See, watch this. Watch in the text. They're shouting, watch this, over God's presence and over God's power. You got to know what to shout about. See, when God begins to move in your life and you can experience His presence, it causes you to lift your hands. It causes you to do a little something. You got to know what to shout about. Stop giving your shout to the Cowboys. Stop giving your shout to the Real Housewives of Atlanta. Stop giving your shout to that stuff and give your shout where your shout makes a difference. I know you know how to shout. So then, not only know what to shout about, the text is moving. You got to know when to shout. Oh, I feel that by myself. They shouted in the text because they had experienced a victory. Oh, church folk, do you know when you've got a victory? Let me tell you, every day you open your eyes on this side is a victory. Now, I'm not discounting heaven, because I know heaven is good, but because I opened my eyes this morning, I saw some brand new mercies that greeted me. So every time you open your eyes, you ought to figure out a way to do a dance. I don't care if you're sitting down, you figure out a way to do a seat dance. You figure out a way to do a song. You figure out a way to give them a little. Lord, I just thank you. Just kick your leg. Just wave your hand if you figure out a way to bless the Lord. Why? Because He woke you up this morning. Because He started you on your way. He gave you sanity in your mind. And I'm not going to keep it to myself. I got one more. I got one more. Look around, look around, look around. I told you, boldness is contagious. Look around, look around, look around, look around. This is not happenstance. This happens when believers allow the Spirit to flow. I told you it's contagious. You got to know what to shout about. You got to know when to shout. Here's the last one. You have to know to whom to shout. Woo! Y'all know I got a degree in English. That's perfect English. You got to know to whom to shout. You ain't shouting for me. You ain't shouting for you. You shouting for Him. I didn't make it up. Look at the text. It says, when they heard this, they raised their voices together. Watch this. To God. Oh, I need a witness up in here. They knew that it was God who protected and preserved and gave the victory. So when you come to church and the praise leader's trying to get you to worship, you ain't doing it for them. It's to Him. Now unto Him who's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or imagine. You ain't shouting for your neighbor. Who cares what they think? They didn't wake you up this morning. They didn't keep you in your right mind. You're shouting for Him. This is short service. Y'all sit down. We got to finish this. This abbreviated summer service. I got my white pants on. It's summertime. Boldness, boldness is contagious. Peter came back with the report, and it was like a fire set off in the early church. They just got excited. So what's the first thing they do? They praised God, and then they started praying. Oh, y'all don't miss that. Don't you miss that. They understood what they were up against. And rather than have a meeting and discuss it, they took their issue and their concern immediately to the Lord. Oh, look at the text. Look at verse 24 again. When they heard this, they raised their voices together to God and said, Master, you are the one who made the heaven, the earth, and the sea, and everything in them. You said through the Holy Spirit by the mouth of your father David, your servant. Why do the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot futile things? Why? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers assemble together against the Lord and against his Messiah. Secondly, we see boldness is available. I want you to get that down. Boldness is available. And this is no trick. This is no scheme. This is no secret. Boldness is available. All you got to do is ask for it. Just ask for it. Just ask the Lord. And so what happens in this prayer, and I've only read a few verses of the prayer, but they begin to catalog and chronicle their history with the Lord. And they begin to communicate how the world stands in opposition to Jesus Christ. Y'all, let me teach a little while. And they helped us to understand, even then as well as now, the world is displeased with our witness. And because of the world's displeasure, many of us have cowered down our witness. Y'all ain't got to say amen. I know I'm teaching up in here. See, we know the rejection of the world. So rather than witness and get rejected, we just beat them to the punch. I ain't going to say nothing. I ain't going to do nothing. I ain't going to show nothing. Yeah, I'm saved. And that's all I got to say about that. And consequently, we are missing out on crucial opportunities to expand the kingdom of God. So you got to know. And you got to recite your history with God. What has God done for you? I want you to tell me. What has he done in your life? Well, you ain't got to tell me. Look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor three things the Lord did for you this week. Come on, this is part of the sermon. Look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor three things the Lord did. If your neighbor ain't turned, don't hit him, but nudge him, nudge him, nudge him. Tell your neighbor three things the Lord has done for you. Come on, kids. Three things the Lord has done. Three things. Come on. Three things the Lord has done. Come on. Come on. What has he done? This is knowing your history. Three things he's done. If your neighbor didn't turn, tell him again. Three things. Three things. Three things. Oh, God, I like it when y'all talk. I like it when y'all talking. Oh, God, some of y'all still talking. That's more than three. Come on. Come on. Come on, see, when you start talking, now watch what's happening in the text. See, when you understand the availability of boldness, and all you got to do is ask for it, and the asking comes out of your history with God, and you began to declare, Lord, if you did it before, need a witness up in here, you can do it again. I know I'm going through right now. I don't feel like a shout. My life is in shambles, but Lord, if you did it before, if you healed my relationship before, if you healed my body before, if you found me a job before, you can do it. Watch this. What they're doing in their prayer is they're simply telling Jesus what he's already done. Oh, y'all got to help me with this. They're telling, Lord, this is what you did. See, y'all don't think the Lord likes to hear that, but he likes to hear it because it lets him know that we're appreciative. But watch this. I ain't finished with this part. I want you to know and recite your history. What has he done for you? But then secondly, what do you need from him? Oh, God, see, oh, y'all, oh, Lord, we fail to ask God, who is the primary one, to give us what we need. What do they ask? What do they ask? What do they ask? They go on with the history 27 and 28 of what the Lord has done and how nothing was done without the Lord's permissive will. It was his predestination that the Lord Jesus would suffer at the hands of wicked men. Look at verse 29. Now, Lord, somebody say, now, Lord. Now, Lord, consider their threats and grant, here is the request, that your servants may speak your word with boldness while you stretch out your hand for healing and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant. That's what they needed. They say, Lord, allow us boldness as we preach and open up some doors while you're at it. And allow us to walk through those doors and provide healing for those who are sick. So that's what they needed in the text. What do we need as a church? I want you to scribble down on your sheet of paper what you believe your church needs right now. Come on, write it down. This is an interactive sermon. We're almost finished. What does your church need? Don't you worry, I got my own list. I've been praying and covenanting in the name of Jesus. I'm going to tell you some of the stuff I'm praying for. I'm praying that we would relaunch and redevelop a prayer ministry where we're gathering together to pray. I got some folk in here say, Pastor, I got the gift of intercession. And I'm ready to you. Don't look at me now, y'all. Same ones that told me. I got the gift of intercession. And I want to meet with those individuals very likely this week so that we can talk about what that means. Let me tell you something what's happening. We can do a whole lot in our flesh and our intellect, but we can't move the world without prayer. Oh, y'all need a witness. I'm preaching to myself. Y'all, we can strategize and plan, have a good marketing plan, but if it's not undergirded with the believer's prayer, then all it's going to do is be a clanging gong and a loud cymbal. But the minute you pray, prayer down here pulls the rope in God's bell tower and it begins to clang and clong, and the Lord says, I got you covered, Greater Bethlehem. I'm going to be with you this Wednesday night when you go and minister to those children. Why? Because it glorifies my name. Write down what our church needs, and I want you to begin praying for what you wrote down. Make sure it's according to the will. Make sure it's scripture. Amen. Don't you be writing down, we need a new pastor. Don't write that down. I'm joking, y'all. Boldness is available. Somebody say available. Boldness is contagious. Somebody say contagious. Y'all, I'm trying to finish this earlier. Thirdly and finally, boldness for the child of God is required. I'm going to dispel the myths that there is any such thing as a quiet, complacent Christian. Dispel it. It don't fit. I'm not talking about being rude, being abrasive, being obnoxious. Why would the early church pray for boldness and the modern church not be bold? It is a complete contradiction. They are our forefathers and foremothers. They're modeling to us how we ought to be even in 2018. So watch this. When we are not bold, when we suppress the flow of the Spirit, we are being disobedient at best. Look at the text. Verse 30 again. While you stretch out your hand, verse 30, for healing and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. That ends the prayer. Verse 31. When they had prayed, the place where they were assembled was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God boldly. I'm trying to call you out of your comfort zone.
I'm trying to call you out of complacency. See, the modern church allows for people to sit and wait and sulk. The modern church, because we get so big, and believe it or not, this is a big church, globally speaking. We allow ourselves to hide. I can come to church. I can get my message. I can put my dollar in the offering tray. And then I can leave. So I can hide. I ain't got to be bold. Y'all be bold. Let those youth be bold. But as for me and mine, we're going to enjoy life. Pleasures. No sacrifices. If it don't feel good, we ain't going to do it. If it don't fit in our decorum list, we won't do it. If it makes me uncomfortable, can't do it. And that's how we live our faith. If it makes me uncomfortable, I ain't doing it. Wait a minute. The church said, Lord, help us to be bold. Help us to be bold. And then we turn it and flip it and say, if it makes me uncomfortable, can't do it. Well, Pastor Mike, how do I get from discomfort, from uncomfortable, to bold? Look at your text again. It says, when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled was shaken. How do you think the shaking took place? Get ready to write three things. Boldness is required. What is required? Power from Him. See, you can't manufacture boldness. I'm not bold as an act of my will. I'm bold as a result of the power from Him. And see, so often we've watched people manufacture boldness and it's turned us off. I need a witness up in here. You can shout right there. And we see things that, nah, that's not really God. That's just somebody showing out. And very likely it is. But let me tell you something. When you have a discerning mind, a discerning spirit, you know what is of God and what is not. But regardless of that, it does not give you the right to not be bold. Boldness is required. So you got to figure out how to be bold in your own clothes. Oh, I'm preaching this to myself. Power from Him came down. Watch this. Power through us. That's the second one. Power through us. They weren't asking just to have this boldness and power for themselves. The preceding verses communicated what they wanted to do with it. They wanted to go out and be witnesses and make a difference for their community. Power from Him through us. And for them. I'm finished. Power from Him through us for them. Help me say that. Power from Him through us for them. The power that is available by the Holy Spirit. Watch this. It is not just for you to have for yourself. It is not just for this church to have a good time and shout and dance around here. And y'all know I love to shout and dance. It is not for us to create a community internally for ourselves. But the ultimate use of the power, the boldness that is required, is for them. I need a witness up in here. So, do you want to be bold now? Do you want to be bold now? My heart was, again, riveted by these boys who found themselves in a cave. I believe there were 9 boys, if I'm not mistaken, and a coach. Over 18, was it 12? 12 boys, 18 days, cooped up in this cave, could not get out, couldn't anything get in. And watch this, 1,000 people showed up to be witnesses, to be rescuers, to be saviors for these little boys. But in the first rescue endeavor, we discover that a former Navy SEAL lost his life trying to save these little boys. What a wonderful thing. He came. He volunteered. He wanted to be of service. He wanted to help be a savior for these little boys. But watch this, y'all. The Navy SEAL died trying to save these little boys. He lost his life trying to save these little boys. Preacher, what are you saying? Over 2,000 years ago, my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ didn't lose his life, but he gave his life. He came down through 42 generations, born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, went on a hill and saved that which was lost. He was falsely accused. Y'all better as well get the shout on. He was falsely accused by the council of Jews, taken from courtroom to courtroom. Hail Hosanna on Monday, crucified on Friday. They placed him in a borrowed tomb. And he stayed in that tomb Friday night. He stayed there all day Saturday. He stayed all night Saturday night. But my Bible says early Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hands. Aren't you glad that he got up? He got up so that we can go out. He got up so that we can be bold. He got up. He got up. He got up. Hey! Hallelujah. Glory that he got up. Come on and stand with me and let's celebrate the fact that he got up. Put those hands together. Come on. Come on. We're done. We're done. Come on. Stand up with me. Let's praise the Lord that he got up. Come on, come on. He got up for you and for you and for you. He got up for you and for you. The least we could do is bless his name. Come on, don't stop. Don't stop now. Come on, come on. Bless his name. Bless his name. Where would you be if he hadn't got up? Don't stop. Don't stop. Come on, come on. Where would you be? Lift your hands if you're able. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we're so grateful for the boldness that is available to us. And Father, we stand in agreement in this holy place, making a request for boldness. Father, those who are requesting, Lord, we're already saved. There's no doubt about that. We're child of the Most High King. We've been redeemed and restored and revived. Heaven is our home. Abundant life is our joy. And so, Father, to add to that, we're making a request, as your people did in Acts chapter 4, for boldness. Father, I'm praying in faith publicly. I'm actually crying out to you, Lord, that your Spirit would touch every heart in this place. And Father, that you would break through any hardness of heart, break through any resistance to being bold, break through any holding on to decorum for decorum's sake. Father, break through in the name of Jesus. Have your way in all of our hearts, Father. I know it's going to take some time, Lord, but we're committed to praying for your breakthrough. Through, Lord God, we can't allow ourselves to not be bold because it makes us uncomfortable, Lord. Help us to get past our comfort and help us to find the bold clothes that we can wear, that we can be bold in the way that you've shaped us. Oh God, I'm praying right now that we would relaunch, redevelop, replant a comprehensive prayer ministry for this church and ministry. Lord, we know how important, how essential prayer is. Father, we need folk praying while church is going on so that those who are coming can be prepared to receive the gospel. So, Father, I'm praying for those men in our church, Lord God, who want to be bold, who want to be in a position to be a witness for you. But Father, we just got to get over ourselves. I'm praying for the sisters in our faith, Lord God, that we would not be concerned so
with what people may say, but more concerned with what your word has commanded. So, Father, I'm praying for boldness for our young people, that they would not cower down because of the pressure of peers, but that they would rise up and stand up because of the spirit that is at work in each of them. Father, we lift up this Wednesday's outreach at Everglade Park. Father, we're praying now for children to come and for the gospel to be presented, that they would have a fun time, that they would learn that being a believer is not boring. Being a believer does not mean you miss out on stuff. It just means that your destiny has been changed and your path has been made different. Lord, we're praying right now for the outreach and for the outpouring of our members to go. That's my prayer, Father. That's my heart's desire. And we submit this prayer to you by faith in the name of Jesus. Let everybody say amen.